Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Russ Reed. I'm with the Navigators, and as is Bill Moretz. Bill's an attorney and specializes in estate planning and charitable giving, and I'm a certified financial planner. I'm also the director of planning and giving for the NAS. I've been with the NAS for about 25 years. In fact, I was telling Bill I feel very much at home in this room. This is my old office, because I used to be the plenary director about two or three directors before. But so I hopefully will get out of here today. Bill, why don't you open us up in a word of prayer, if you would.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we can share together. Father, I just pray that you'll allow us to speak those things which are of you, and that those things will last, and that those things that we bring in at our own personal level will pass away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Bill and I are going to, I better put this on, or Ken Metzger will get mad at me, and I hate to have Ken mad at me. Let's put it on right. Bill and I are going to alternate the presentation this morning, and I don't want to make it too formal, but we have these overheads, which I guess will have to have a degree of formality to it. I got some coffee to help my throat from time to time. Plan giving. What is plan giving? Give you kind of a background on what that is to start with. But now, everything you'll be seeing on the overhead, everything you may see on the overhead, I'm not sure what
on the overhead that you can't see.
I'm not sure what the problem with this unit is. But it's just not focusing. All right, let's just skip the overhead. What's that?
The type of technology you use a unit.
Just to the side?
Four.
All right. Well, let's try that.
Go
back and see.
Not that it'll get any more clear, but it'll get bigger.
Let's see. Up and down the wall.
In the center, that's the problem. The center, it's not. Oh, this is the problem.
Yeah, it does, but it doesn't.
Not enough, huh?
Well, there's. It's kind of unusual. There must be a glitch on the glass or something.
May I
please.
Suggest that which I could do. You've seen this. No.
Not sure what the problem is. We.
Okay, more focus. I believe you have a scratch here, and that's the problem.
Oh.
With respect to the mirror.
Okay.
Yeah. And you. Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, we'll skip the. Would you prefer the overhead or just follow the notes in your handout? Let's just follow the notes in the handout. I think it might be a little less, a little simpler to follow. Okay, plan giving. What is the difference between plan giving and ordinary giving? I made the mistake of asking one of our staff that one day, and he looked at me kind of strangely. He said, "Well, I guess plan giving is giving in a planned way," and never asked that question again. Briefly, to explain the difference between a planned gift and ordinary, and this says ordinary income, and it's supposed to be ordinary gift. Sorry about that. If you change that on your notes. Ordinary giving. An ordinary gift, if you were to write it, or when you write a check to your church or to the Navigators or other Christian organizations or other charities, or give a cash gift, that is a... It's a completed gift. There are no strings. You may be able to designate how you'd like to see that gift used within the organization, but you can't take it back. You can't redirect it as a rule. It's a completed gift in order to be tax deductible. It's usually cash, but it can be anything of value. But cash is the most common means of making a what I call an ordinary gift. And it's generally of immediate use to the organization. Occasionally funds are placed into endowment programs that will fund future ongoing programs, but usually most gifts are made for immediate use. So when a person gives to a Navigator rep, for example, we process those funds and send the check out on a regular basis, and he or she immediately spend the funds to meet their personal needs or their ministry needs or what have you. Now, planned gift comes in a different category. A planned gift, generally speaking, is a current agreement for a future use. And that will become clear as we go along, I hope. But it may involve a transfer of assets at this point, but it may not. It may just involve an agreement to transfer assets in the future for use in the ministry. And almost always with a planned gift, the organization does not immediately benefit from those assets. Those assets are scheduled for use in the future. Because the assets have to be available to benefit the donor during their lifetime. So in a planned gift, you have two beneficiaries. You have the organization that the gift is given to, and you have the donor who retains some interest in that gift. Whether it's an annuity, lifetime annuity, whether it's a lifetime use of the asset, and so on. Planned gifts can be used as a means of reducing income taxes, because with many planned gifts, not all, but with many planned gifts, there's a tax deduction. Now, if you were to give X amount of dollars to the Lord's work in an immediate gift, you would have a tax deduction for X amount of dollars. If you give X amount of dollars in a planned gift, the tax deduction is reduced based on the IRS estimation of the degree of benefit you are going to receive back, as opposed to how much benefit the organization will receive. This will become clear later on. So it's a means of reducing income taxes. It's also a means of avoiding taxes on capital gains. If I have a stock that I have invested in, and I sell it, and give the proceeds to the Navigators, I pay the capital gains on that I pay the gain tax on the gain on that stock. If I instead give that stock to the Navigators or to your church or what have you or my church, there's no tax on the gain because the church or the Navigators or the charity is a tax exempt organization. It's also a means of reducing estate taxes and probate costs, and we'll illustrate that later on. The purpose of the Navigator Department of Planned Giving is simple. Our purpose is to help Christians maximize the distribution of their resources to loved ones and to the Lord's work through the use of estate and financial planning. That's our goal. And our priorities are laid out in our goal. We feel, based on 1 Timothy 5:8, a person's first priority is to their family. Then as God leads and God enables them to make a gift to the Lord's work. It's a ministry to the body of Christ. The agreements we become involved in more often than not benefit more than just the Navigators. Yes, sir?
What is the reference that you use?
1 Timothy 5:8. And I'm going to blank on it immediately. I didn't bring my Bible. But if any provide not for his own, especially for his own household, he both denies the faith and is worse than an individual. I think that's pretty close, 1 Timothy. Don't tell Jerry White, all right? That's 1 Timothy 5:8 in the original translation, the King James. Right. You bet. And we serve with no strings attached. I was, in fact, one of the agreements that we're going to illustrate today, or one of the plans we put together to illustrate today. One of the first things the donor asked me, he said, "Well, how much do the Navigators have to benefit from this?" And I said, "Well, frankly, I've never been told. We don't have a criteria. In fact, sometimes we work with people where there is no benefit to the Navigators." Because again, we are here to serve. We are here to serve.
What do you mean by that? There's no benefit to the Navigators of the funds that are given. Or
that's correct.
Or your services or what?
That's correct. Both.
Okay.
One unique illustration. We won't do this every day, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be around. But we were approached by a local CPA here in Colorado Springs a couple of years ago, and he had a client. Who wanted to make a gift to two churches in Colorado Springs, and it was a unit trust, which involved a lifetime income going back to the lady, and when she's with the Lord, then the assets would be used by the churches in her ministry. But she didn't trust church financial management, but she liked the Navigators, and would we assist in setting up this unit trust, and would we be the trustees? And he said, "I'm not really sure there'll be anything in the Navigators in this trust because she hasn't talked about that." And I talked to Rod Sargent, who was my boss at that time, is now with the Lord. He said, "Well, let's go ahead and do it." And so we set up the, I almost said the name, the trust, and the lady is receiving income and for about, I think it's a couple $100,000 of assets, and two churches in Colorado Springs will benefit, and the NAVs have no interest in the arrangement, except as a fiduciary. Yes?
The trustees service, the NAV gives service.
In this, yes, in this situation, we do serve as trustee.
Who signed on behalf of the NAMGAS?
Rod Sargent.
Are there other situations where the NAMGAS is serving as?
Quite a few. I would say, I don't have an estimate, but I would say probably either trustee or co-trustee, perhaps a few hundred.
And you do not manage the equity base that's in these trusts?
Yes, we do.
You do manage.
Yeah, we advise. We have advisors and who advise us, and then we. But we are, and I don't personally. It's our corporate accounting department that manages them. And that's not unusual for many organizations. There are pluses and minuses in being a fiduciary. We do not charge for our fiduciary services. Generally speaking, we will take on an obligation like that, and this is going to be in contrast to what I just said. When there is an eventual gift to the navigators. In the arrangement. But, and of course, it's like this trust I just described. If we did many of those, we wouldn't be around. Our costs would exceed our income. Okay, next page. Tools of plan giving. Just a quick summary. Bequest, of course, that refers to a will. There's all kind, and that's the simplest, most direct way, and as I say when I put on seminars, that's the way everybody can make a plan gift. Even a person with a modest estate could include the navigators as a contingent beneficiary in their will, which would mean if all of their heirs predeceased them and there's no and their will does not direct money to go anywhere, then the funds could go to the NAVs or their church or what have you. Life insurance is a good way of making a plan gift. A gift annuity is a fixed lifetime income guaranteed by the organization. Personally, I don't like annuities unless a person is... older. What is older? That's a relative term, and it's changing. Generally speaking, I don't think a person should enter into an annuity unless they are well into their 60s, in my personal opinion. We don't do much with annuities. A deferred gift annuity is a unique arrangement. It's a fixed lifetime income starting at a future date. Pardon me, that future date is specified in the contract. If a person were to have a large income at a particular period of time and he wanted to make a charitable gift, and he wanted to receive a current income tax deduction, and he wanted to receive a retirement income sometime in the future, they could enter into a deferred gift annuity and would receive an income tax deduction and guarantee a future income. An annuity trust is very similar, except unlike the annuity, the assets in annuity trust are backed up by the assets actually placed in trust. If a person enters into an annuity with the navigators, they're backed up by all of our resources, including Glenary. It's a contractual obligation. A charitable remainder unit trust. It's an annual payment of a fixed percentage of the annually determined value of the trust assets. So, for example, if a trust says, the minimum by law is 5%. I've never seen one written for over 10%, but we'll use 5% if using just round figures, if $100,000 is placed in the unit trust and the 5% return, that means the first year the donor would receive $5,000 in income. And that income is favorably treated by the IRS. It is taxable, but it's favorably treated. Assuming the trust earned 10%, the excess 5% would be kept in the trust, and next year the donor would receive 5% of $105,000. So it's a variable. Of course, conversely, if the trust drops in value, as in a few Mondays ago, then the income would go down. But it's a variable, as in contrast to the annuity concept. Life estate contract. Sometimes a person has a farm or a personal residence they really want to see used in the ministry, either actually physically or sold and eventually used in the ministry. And you can enter into an agreement, either revocable or irrevocable in this situation, where you maintain the right to use and benefit from the property during your lifetime. You also have the right to maintain it, or you have the responsibility to maintain it, keep it up. You can rent it, live in it, whatever you want. But at your death, the property goes to, or the, if it's a couple at the death of both spouses, the property goes as a gift to the charity or charities, depending on the contract. Pooled income fund. Don't quote me. SEC would get mad, but it's sort of like a mutual fund. Same concept, but it has a charitable gift behind it. Gifts are commingled in an investment fund, and the donor receives a proportionate income on by the fund based upon the amount of his contribution in relation to the other contributions. And a revocable trust, donor can take back the gift of future use of assets. In other words, we had a man, some years ago, give us some gold coin, gold and silver coins and some bullion. And he said, I don't think I will ever need these, my wife and I will ever need these, but in case we do, I'll want to take them back. We placed them into a revocable trust. He kept them there for 6-7 years, wrote a letter saying, I'll never need those. Revoked the trust and made the gift. So gives flexibility to the donor, and I think that's very, very important. Questions so far?
Yes. Did you liquidate the coins?
We still have them.
And do you monitor
the coins?
Mm-hmm. Daily. Like I said, it's pretty easy to do nowadays.
Yeah, right, it is. Yeah, there, actually, the we could probably sell the gold coins because the numismatic, I'm going to blow it, numismatic, thank you, is far more valuable than the gold content. They're not going to fluctuate very much.
Have you had them certified?
We had them, yes. We had them certified when we received them, when we initially received them. And then when he revoked the trust, we had them looked at again and valued. And now we're just waiting for what we feel is appropriate time, which is
my retirement.
I wish. Yeah, it's one of the fun things you do. I think challenging, interesting. Next page. Important factors in planning. These are the issues we address when we work with individuals or families, couples. Age, occupation, marital status, children. Support obligations. What obligations does the family have, the couple, the adult? There may be other people other than the children and the spouses. There may be parents involved, which is not unusual at all in this day and age. Brothers and sisters, other relatives that they have an obligation to or feel an obligation to before the Lord. Previous marriages. Any special considerations of income or future need of assets. We do get into the estate of the individual, their assets, their property, coming up with a statement of net worth. Also, what their objectives are, the plans, plans for their family, plans for the Lord's work, what they want to accomplish, and how they want their estate distributed, the needs of the family. And, of course, that takes priority. We also like to work with their planners. When we prepare a document, and Bill will prepare some of ours, many of ours, and we have another attorney that's on retainer that does other that will also prepare documents for us. We are reluctant to go into a donor with a document and sit down and have them sign it, whether it's a unit trust or a revocable trust or what have you. We prefer to have that donor have his own attorney review the document and counsel his client on how the document should be changed and the strengths and minuses of the agreement. That way we feel the donor's interests are being protected. And that's very important. Because we try to do a good job, but we have our perspective and there are more perspectives than just ours. And also we look carefully at individuals' need for various kinds of protection, whether it's death, disability, retirement needs, income tax, hazards, emergencies, liability. And these things can be addressed through good estate planning. Questions so far? Well, we said we're going to go through some scenarios, and that's what I'm going to do. The first one is a gentleman and his wife, one single son living at home. Turned out he has three other children, which I didn't know at first. What we discovered when we went through this kind of a checklist with him, married and living all at some distance from where they are. He is 68, she's 63. Financial need, the rest of the family were self-sufficient, independent, had no needs, but the donor and his wife were concerned about retirement income. Everybody's health was good. The donor and the wife both said that she needed financial management. If he predeceased her, she would be in trouble with their current arrangement. Now, these are the donor's own plans. He listed these, and they're an approximate priority. First of all, he was concerned about providing retirement income. Secondly, he, as I said, wanted financial management for his wife. Or that provision, I should say. He was very concerned about reducing taxes and reducing estate, both income and estate, and probate expenses. He didn't like capital gains taxes, and you'll see why in a few moments. He wanted to provide a gift to his kids, and he wanted to provide a gift to the Lord's work. And he wanted to simplify his estate administration. Brief summary of his property. You'll see why he didn't like capital gains, because he had a...
Hi.
Welcome.
Say, I'm not the only woman in here.
But you add a little class to the outfit.
Okay.
Good to have you here. We're on about third or fourth page in, I'd say. We just started the first scenario. Right.
Okay.
Oh, no, that's no problem. Just a real quick review. This is an actual situation that we worked with, Bill and I worked with both this last year. And the last part of the plan was implemented this month, or will be implemented this month. The first part was implemented last month. And this is a man, 68, wife, age 63, who was quite charitably motivated, yet wanted to benefit his family and himself. And you can review the other pages, and that'll give you the background. Looking at his net worth, one of the things I said, he didn't like taxes on cap on gain, and you can see he had rental property, which the business interests are, with a net worth value of about $800,000 and a cost basis of just under $100,000. That would be quite a significant capital gain, tax on capital gains. Now, I put the comparison of the old and new estate plans first, because what we did is a little complicated, and I wanted to show you the benefits so you understand, so you put up with the complications. Under his old estate plan, it was fairly simple. Everything went to his wife, and then everything went to the kids. In that arrangement, administration costs were estimated at about 5%, which is about $111,000.
What do you mean by administration
costs? The cost of probate, cost of
death,
funeral expenses, and so on. You can't get away, but the probate is the primary thing you can affect. With the administration, so we estimate about $111,000. Estate taxes, that should be, pardon me for the and, $382,000, and that is just federal. This particular state in which he lives has state estate taxes, and one of the ways I avoid practicing law is by not knowing what state laws are. Bill likes that. He likes me to keep out of his area of expertise. And because of the... And then about $652,000distributed to kids, and zero distribution to the Lord's work. So going back on his goals, you can see that he had some things he was accomplishing and some things he wasn't accomplishing. All right. With the new estate plan, which you'll see on the next page, administrative costs were drastically reduced, $33,000. Estate taxes, federal, zero. Again, bear in mind, these are all projections. You know. Distribution to children went up, and somehow we found another almost $900,000 to distribute to the Lord's work. Now this is not typical, but this illustrates what can be done. Next page, new estate plan. First of all, a poorer will was prepared, and what that means is that anything that was outside of the trust arrangements that was probated according to the terms of the will would be placed into the revocable living trust next to it for distribution. So in effect, what this will does, it takes whatever assets are outside, are not probated, and pours them into the revocable living trust. The revocable living trust was funded with $346,000 of personal property, residence, and some investments. Who are the trustees? The donors. This is an extremely competent man. Extremely competent. He can manage his own affairs much better than anybody else I know of. And so he's his own trustee. Nothing has changed in the way he handles his property. He just happens to be the trustee of his own trust. The trust provides he and they're co-trustees, both he and his wife. They can buy, sell, trade, keep, change the trust, whatever they want to during their lifetime. It's completely revocable. The terms are simple, in addition to what I just said about giving them flexibility to use and benefit from the assets. When they're both with the Lord, the home and personal effects are distributed to the children. And the residual, what's left over, 20% goes to each child, and 10% goes to his two charitable organizations he's interested in, the Navigators and Campus Crusade for Christ. The next trust was put together was a charitable remainder unit trust, and his business interest, the highly appreciated property, was transferred in that. Remember I said there's no tax on that kind of a transfer. And that property, half of it was transferred this last year and half be transferred next year to take advantage of the 5-year carry forward of a tax deduction. So he can, I'll get that in a moment. Again, the trustees are the donors. They're the best managers for their own assets. So they are the trustees of their own charitable remainder unit trust. Successor trustees, co-trustees, Campus Crusade, and the Navigators. When he passes away, we will take over and manage those assets in that trust for the benefit of the wife. Terms. 6%, well, actually, the terms are a 9% payout every year. But the donor said, I don't need that much money. That's too much money. So 6% is paid out to the donor. 3%, or $48,000 a year. 3% is paid out to, that line is drawn the wrong place, but 3% is paid out to Crusade, or $8,000 a year, and two-thirds to the Navigator, $16,000 a year. You can see the great flexibility that can be going into. He has an income tax deduction for $286,000. That will do a lot to reduce taxes. And I mentioned the 5-year carryover. If that is too much for him to use in the year of the gift, which it is, he can continue to draw on that tax deduction for 5 years. And that's why funds are placed into the trust in 2 separate years, so he, in effect, rather than just carrying out the year of the gift plus 5, it's the year of the gift plus 6. So he will have income tax deductions, significant income tax deductions, for the next 6 years. And when both he and his wife are with the Lord, beneficiaries of the trust corpus, or the assets in the unit trust, Crusade one-third, Navigators two-thirds. What is two-thirds of $800,000? I didn't put that down here. About $500,000 to $600,000. Irrevocable insurance trust. $600,000. Trustee, independent. Donor cannot control that. Independent trustee. Annual premium is paid from the unit trust income. Beneficiaries of trust corpus when they're both with the Lord, or when he is with the Lord, is divided equally among the children. And you can see down here in these boxes that each child will receive, we project $269,000. Crusade will receive $301,000, and the NAV is just in excess of $567,000. Go back to the preceding page. Comparison of new and old estates. And you can see that if you go back and look at the donor's objectives, you can see that what we accomplished, or what he accomplished, and we were advisors or stimulus or assistance with his own professional counselors, but we were able to help him do what he said he, or what they said they wanted to do, pardon me.